Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Roll call for Wednesday, March the 1st. Agar.
Present.
Anderson.
Here.
Anselmi Dalton.
Here.
Baldwin.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Boner.
Here.
Bouchard.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case. Here. Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Dockstetter.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Ellis.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Hastert. Hicks,
here.
Kinski,
here, here.
Landon,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Nethercott,
here.
Pappas,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Fladern,
here.
Wasserberger,
here.
President Bebout,
here.
30 present.
Prayer this morning by the Reverend Kevin Frank. Please stand.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day that you have given to us. We thank you for the privilege we have of coming and being here to do the work that is before us. We thank you for your blessing through this week so far, for the accomplishment of things before us. We ask today that you would continue to lead and guide us through the business at hand. We ask you to give us the wisdom that you poured out for Solomon, that you would help us with understanding when we have no wisdom. Help us through the tough times with those challenging decisions. We ask as we spend this time together today that you would watch over our family, our loved ones, and those around us, that you would care for them, to allow us to have our minds undivided and focus on what is at hand. And we want to say thank you. Thank you for doing that for us in the past. Thank you for the accomplishments that we have around us. And we're going to thank you for what you do for us today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the...
You may have privilege of the floor.
May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
I have... the distinct honor, actually, to have about 30 students from my high school, Campbell County High School, and they were down here for the State DECA Convention. And so I have Mrs. Newberry, if she would stand, and she has been our DECA coach for, I don't know, at least 30 years, but she has been also Teacher of the Year. She's just an incredible, incredible teacher and coach. And then she also has with her assistant coach, which is Mr. Post-it. He would stand. But then also the rest of the class, if you would stand. And they won 64 trophies of the 84 that are granted, but they don't keep team scores. But I think the team score was in our favor. But anyway, they have done well. And then they go to the national convention, which is in Anaheim. And typically we place about three or four, sometimes as many as seven, in the top 10 at the national competition. And so they're going to take a bus. Thank God we didn't cut busing all the way to Anaheim, or we might not make it. We'd get to Vegas, and that'd be as far as we've got. So anyway, but I have four special students here, and these two are from my junior high. And this is actually the last class that I had. So I'm no longer disgracing public education, but I have Yara Rodriguez, which was one of my favorite kids, and Michael Kessel from Twin Spruce, and now they're, you know. Anyway, and then I have Mr. Riley Constable. Riley is the president of the DECA group, but then we also have Tom Lubnow, who is the son of the former Speaker of the House. Yeah. to brag about Tom a little bit, you know. Tom was the, is as a junior, he's an overachiever. He is the student body president at Campbell County High School. And I asked him, is he going to run again? He said, well, I don't know. I said, well, I'll give you a campaign contribution. He says, what do you want? Now, he's got it figured out down here, I think. But anyway, so we got Tommy Lovenow here. And, of course, his dad is Tom Lovenow, senior. And his mom, Rita, is an outstanding guidance counselor. But so welcome them to the house.
Hear, hear. I believe what Senator Wasserberger meant to say was welcome to the Senate.
Senate.
And welcome to all of you, and thank you for what you've done. I remember when you were selected as Teacher of the Year, well-deserved. So thank you so much for what you do for DECA. It's a great program. And for Tom Jr., good to see you. Tell your dad, give him your mom best wishes from all of us. And for all of you, we are doing our best to keep an eye on Senator Wasserberger. And it's not easy, but we're really trying to do that. Senator Boehner.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Hey, we also have some very special guests from Camp Guernsey with us here today. If you recall, members of the Senate, we did have some discussion about the Wyoming Cowboy Challenge Academy. So I don't need to spend a whole lot of time extolling the virtues of this program. But most importantly, the best part about this program are the cadets that choose to participate in this voluntary program, five-and-a-half-month program, to really demonstrate that courage to change. So they are here with us today. We have Class 31 and Class 32 in the back. If they could stand to be recognized, let's welcome them to the Senate.
Hey! Hey!
Thank you very much. You may stand at ease. I like that.
As you were.
Ten, hut! At ease. Senator Boehner, what?
I believe the phrase is as you were, or something like that.
Anyway, welcome. It's so good to see you here. Welcome to this Wyoming Senate. It's good to see you. I like your haircuts. And I looking out there at you, I remember when I was in a very similar situation, had a similar haircut, being involved in the military of our great country. So thank you for doing what you're doing, and welcome to the Senate. Anybody else have anybody? Senator Agar, thank you very much. At ease.
Mr. President, we were supposed to be joined by a group of seventh graders from Meteetse Junior High that had just won the national championship in the Verizon Initiative App Challenge. Unfortunately, their bus was turned around at Wheatland, so they're on their way back to Meteetse right now. I just wanted to give them a little recognition this morning.
Senator Agar, was it because we didn't have funding for transportation, or was it weather-related?
Both.
Well, thank you very much. Let's give them a hand, even if they're not here. Reading, correction, approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 28, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Bouchard, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Senator Landon.
President, may I have quick privilege of the floor,
you may.
Please. Fellow Senators, I think you remember yesterday we had a little bit of combobulation over here. As you know, I work out pretty strenuously, and I have a pretty strong left arm. And when I pulled this drawer out, it broke. And you remember we were struggling with that. And so I do have a good report. I came in this morning, and the drawer was fixed. But I had a bill laying here. With all of that background, I wanted you to know that I'd like to move invoice or bill number SBL1. And ask for the body to vote no. This was laying on my desk, Mr. President, and it calls for reimbursement of $115, And so I laid a dollar and 15 cents over on the office product desk of the senator from Cali. And while I appreciate his fine work, I felt like this was out of line. I wasn't sure that the 5% preference was involved. I noticed that I was charged 25 for a toothpick and a screwdriver. And so, fellow senators, I feel like that's out of line, and we should vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Oh, so the... Well, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just, you know, just a reminder that we had consultant fees that I did not include. And an architect involved in the situation, and... I thought it was a great deal at the ongoing price, and I'd ask the body to please consider an eye on this bill.
Well, okay, for his first time. Senator Hicks.
Well, Mr. President.
Chairman, you want to put it to the floor?
Mr. President, could I have privilege
you
of
may.
The floor? Well, I'm a little concerned that the state funded it initially as a level one study at 100%, and now they're complaining about a little reimbursement here.
We got a lot of work to do today, Senators. Senator Bouchard, you just have to just desire to speak. Okay.
I'll be quick here, Mr. President.
You have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, they could have asked me or Senator Haster to work on that because we've worked with our hands all our lives, and it wouldn't have taken three senators to fix that drawer. Maybe it would have just taken one of us.
Okay, for your second time, Senator Landon.
Well, Mr. President, I...
Move the previous question.
That takes two or three seconds, Mr. President. Mr. President, I will take this to a conference committee. I'll agree to withdraw my motion and sit down with the senator from Cali, and we'll report back on that conference committee. Thank you for the...
Senator Landon, thank you for withdrawing. I was about to rule it out of order. Okay, I hope nobody gets sick today because we do not have a doctor, we do not have a nurse, but we have Senator Baldwin, and as a backup, Senator Emmert. Today in Wyoming history, in 1872, Congress authorized the creation of Yellowstone National Park. Today is day 35, it seems like it should be Friday, but it's only Wednesday. Of the proposed 37-day session and also the last day for third reading in the second house. Members of the Senate, each year the Wyoming legislature sponsors a legislative internship program which allows students enrolled at an institution of higher education to obtain credit along with a unique insight. Unique is correct. It is unique. Insight into the legislative branch of government and its vital responsibility in creating public policy. Intern coordinator, and she's been doing it for many years and doing an outstanding job, no question about that, is LaVonda Copsa, who joins us this morning along with some of the interns of the 2017 General Session. LaVonda, please say a few words about the program, and then we would like each intern, if they're so inclined, to introduce themselves. Well, we want you to introduce yourselves and share with us where they're from and future career plans. And some of us had an opportunity to meet with them the other day, and I tell you what, members of the Senate, this is quite a group. And I hope they've learned from the process. I believe they have. So, LaVonda, the floor is yours. Let's give these people a well-deserved round of applause.
Thank you all so much. It has been my real delight and privilege to have been the intern coordinator now for 15 years. And over that time, there's been about 200 students, high school and college, who have gone through the program. This year, we had 11 students that participated in that from the University of Wyoming, Western Wyoming Community College, and Laramie County Community College, as well as Cheyenne Central, South, Rock Springs, Sundance, and Upton. And our high school students are sponsored by an individual legislator while our college students get academic credit for their participation. They've had a variety of projects they've worked on, and it has been, as President Bebout was mentioning, a lot of really interesting things for the interns to learn about our governmental system, and I'm just grateful for that. They've also helped with committee secretaries, done some sorting of constituent mail, and, of course, done a lot of observation of the process, and that's one of the goals, is that they can see how it works, and I'm sure gain some very interesting insights into both policy and personality as they have just experienced some of that fun on the floor. So right now they're working on a PowerPoint presentation. For those of you who would like to have that, it will be emailed to you, and you can adjust it according to what you want, but hopefully we'll have some of the highlights of the session if you want to use that after the after you're done and with your constituents. So I guess I just want to say that for all of you to remember that today's interns are tomorrow's political, business, and educational leaders, and I thank you so much for your support. So if they want to talk, we'll
come on up and grab the mic, all of you, please.
Grab it. Okay. Scoot Engel. Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Seth Jones. I am a student through the University of Wyoming, and I am studying communications there. And in terms of future plans, I plan to go into a master's program in public administration. Hopefully, have a similar position to you as you all have, and or either that are working with university business.
Where are you from?
Upton. Upton, Wyoming.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Stevenson. I'm a student at Western Wyoming Community College. I'm from Rock Springs. My major is political science and history with an emphasis in pre-law. And so obviously my future plans is to become a lawyer. If that doesn't pan out, I also am going into a master's program for communications. I plan on teaching communications at a community college as well as coaching speech and debate.
Thank you.
I'm Rebecca Hodson. I live here in Cheyenne. I currently go to LCCC. I'm getting a degree in political science so I can be a part of the Air National Guard's intelligence program so I can become in the FBI's intelligence program.
Oh, man.
You can, there you go. Put her down further if you want.
Thank you. Okay, my name is Rachel Mosley. I live in Cheyenne. I go to LCCC right now, but I'm transferring to UW in the fall. My degree is political science. I plan to go to law school and become a lawyer for family law.
Thank you. Well, thank you for your outstanding work during the 2017 general session, and I hope I don't meet any in the courthouse when you're practicing law. But hopefully you're going to be great leaders for the state of Wyoming, maybe get involved in the legislative process at a future date. So thank you very much. Members, in the past, the Management Council has offered a legislative student intern grant program designed to help students defray some of the expenses incurred while participating in the student intern program. Due to the legislature's budget reductions in 2016, the grant program is no longer being funded. A letter has been distributed to you on your desk outlining ways that can assist these students in the future to ensure that legislative internship program remains strong, i.e. get your checkbook out, if you would, please. I encourage you to review this letter and consider donating. Well, I said the same thing. Anyway, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your hard work. Good luck on your future endeavors. We're proud of you. Thank you, Lavonda. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, are you ready to do the Confirmations?
Mr. President, I am, if you are.
I am.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself into open executive session.
You heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The motion is carried. Will the reading clerk please read the entire list of nominees?
Well, wait. What? Well, no, you're right. Sorry.
Aeronautics Commission, Chuck Brown III, Bruce McCormick, Sigsby Duck. Board of Agriculture, Mike Riley, Jana Ginter. Arts Council, Chloe Illoway, Nina McGonigley, Tara Taylor, Simon Marshall. Board of Barber Examiners, Tricia Hageman. Wyoming Business Council, Board of Directors, Kelly Lockhart, Megan Overman-Getz, Aaron Sopko, Ronald Kenzie, Jerry Bland, Kim DeVore. Children's Trust Fund Board, Marguerite Herman, Lynn Story-Heiler. Community College Commission, Craig Frederick, Jackie Fries, Julie Newman. Cultural Trust Fund Board, David Cunningham, Susan Stubson. Dental Examiners, Jim Gilman, Scott Hofick, Byron Kilpack. Board of Education, Gordon Max Mickelson III, Dan McLeod, Ryan Furman, Robin Chamber. UW Energy Resources Council, Cindy Crane, Jeannie Hull. Environmental Quality Council, Megan O'Toole-Lally, Deb Balmer. Game and Fish Commission, Gaylin Bird, Peter Duby, Mike Schmidt. Industrial Siting Council, Jeffrey Wallace, Dusty Spomer, Peter Brangert. Infrastructure Authority, Kenneth Miller, David Sparks. Insurance Agents Examiners Board, Kelly Carmichael. Judicial Conduct and Ethics, Barbara Diltz, Leslie Peterson. Livestock Board, Warren Crawford, BVM, Martin Mercer. Board of Medicine, Michael Jording, Annie McGuire, Valerie Goen. Mental Health Professions Licensing Board, B.J. Ayers, Lance Goody. Occupational Health and Safety Commission, Chuck Dobkins, Peter Perikos, M.D., Mandy Safford. Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, Mark Dolger. Board of Outfitters and Professional Guides, Cole Benton, Lee Livingston. Paramutual Commission, Danny Glick, Troy Broussard. Parks and Cultural Resources Commission, Aaron Bannon, Susan Peters, Donald Schmaltz. Parole Board, Edward Wright, John Conrad. Board of Pharmacy, Robert Prentice, Bessie McGurr, Gary Norwood. Pipeline Authority, Bill Hawks. Board of Professional Geologists, Brian Solis, Andrew Finley. Board of Psychology, Matt Gray. Real Estate Commission, Tim Bradley, Bob Pfister. Retirement Board, Michael Ceballos, Eric Nelson, Garth Shanklin, Byron Foster. School Facilities Commission, Mark Kupke. State Mining Council, Michael Bird, Timothy Musbach, Tom Waterhouse. Tourism Board, James Waldrop, Mary Christine Hill, Annie Guyon, Larry Lloyd. Transportation Commission, Phil Schmidt, Louis Frangel. Unemployment Insurance Commission, Merritt Thomas. University of Wyoming Board of Trustees, John McPherson, Jeff Marsh, Kermit Brown, Dr. David Fall. Board of Veterinary Medicine, Edith Susan Blaha, Leonard Wilford, DVM. Water Development Commission, Karen Budd, Rodney Wagner, Clinton Glick, Larry Suker, Gerald Geis, Kellen Lancaster. Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust, Ken Bannister, Ph.D., Carol P. Fulton, Christine Haswell. Board of Equalization, Martin Hartzog, David Gruver. Public Service Commission, William Russell, Robert Sessions Cooley. Department of Enterprise Technology Services, Tony Young. Office of Administrative Hearings, Peter Frohlicher. Construction Management Department, Delbert McComey. State Engineer, Pat Terrell. State Fire Marshal, Mike Reed. State Inspector of Mines, Terry Adcock. State Parks and Cultural Resources, Darren Westby.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I'm ready for your motion.
In that case, Mr. President, I move adoption of the consent list, which consists of all the appointments as read in.
Does any senator wish to remove any name from the list? There being none, will the chief clerk please call the roll?
Agar.
Aye.
Aye. Anderson.
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Doughton.
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin.
Aye.
Aye. Barnard.
Aye.
Aye. Boner. Aye. Bouchard.
Aye.
Aye. Burns.
Aye.
Aye. Case.
No.
No. Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll. Aye. Ellis.
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich.
Aye.
Aye. Hastert.
Aye.
Aye. Hicks.
Aye.
Aye. Kinski.
Aye.
Aye. Landon.
Aye.
Aye. Meyer.
Excused.
Meyer excused. Moniz.
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott.
Aye.
Aye. Pappas.
Aye.
Aye. Perkins.
Aye.
Aye. Peterson.
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss.
Aye.
Aye. Scott.
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern.
Aye.
Aye. Wasserbrugger.
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout.
Aye.
Aye.
Meyer, aye.
Meyer excused to aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 aye, 1 no.
By your vote, the appointments on the consent list have been adopted. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate dissolve itself from an open executive session.
Heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. Motion approved. Senator Boner, do you wish privity to the floor?
Yes, Mr. President.
You got it.
Okay, just briefly, Senators, we have more cadets from the Youth Challenge Program. This is Class 31. They will be graduating March 11th. Let's welcome to the Senate.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Messages from the House.
From the House of Representatives, February 28, 2017, message number 441, concurrence passed. Mr. President, on the following Senate bills, the House did concur to Senate amendments on the bills listed by the votes indicated. House Bill number 182, abortion ultrasound information, ayes 47, noes 12, excused 1. Message number 442, House Bill number 241, background checks, interstate compacts, ayes 52, noes 7, excused 1. Message number 443, House Bill number 194, school safety and security, ayes 57, noes 3. Message number 444, House Bill number 271, game bird farms, greater sage grouse, ayes 47, noes 13. Message number 445, concurrence failed. Mr. President, the House failed to concur on Senate amendments to House Bill number 137, Wyoming Repeal Gun-Free Zones Act, ayes 4, noes 56. Message number 450, conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the Speaker of the House conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to House Bill 137. House conferees are Representative Biteman, Chairman, Representative Freeman, Representative Olson. Message number 446, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, the House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on House Bill number 22, ayes 60. Message number 447, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, the House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on Senate file number 14, ayes 59, noes 1. Message 448, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, the House adopted Joint Conference Committee report number 1 on House Bill number 27, School Facility Property Insurance, ayes 56, noes 4. Message number 449, Joint Conference Committee report not adopted. Mr. President, the House failed to adopt Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on Senate file 53, Veterans Hiring Preference, ayes 14, noes 46. Message number 451, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee 2. The Speaker appointed House conferees for Committee number 2 on amendments to Senate file 53. House conferees are Representative Eklund, Chairman, Representative Barlow, Representative Lindholm. Message number 452, conferees appointed. The Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate file 32. House conferees are Representative Kirkbride, Chairman, Representative Pownall, Representative Schwartz. Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
Alan, give me the
The Joint Conference Committee number 2 for Senate File 53, Veterans Hiring Preference, will be Senator Meyer, Chair, Senator Agar, and Senator Rothfuss. Senator Barnard, are you ready on message number 438 to Senate File 109, Auto Cycles?
Mr. President, I am.
Reading clerk, please read that in.
Message number 438, referencing Senate File 109, Auto Cycles.
Senator Barnard.
Mr. President, I move concurrence on message number 438, Senate File 109, Auto Cycles, and ask that the body would vote aye. The House, after many hours of deliberation, made two changes to this, and all they did was specify one change. That they said they were going to raise the price, and then they just raised the price of the license fee from, or the registration fee, excuse me, from $12 to $25. And that was very fine with me, so I would ask that you would vote aye.
Okay, the motion is to concur to message number 438 to Senate File 109, Auto Cycles. You've been asked to vote aye. You vote aye, you vote to concur. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. And Sammy Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard? Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercutt?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 28 aye, 2 no.
By your vote, you voted to adopt the concurrence request for the Senate amendments. You voted to concur, to the Senate House amendments to Senate File 109, Auto Cycle, being message number 438. Senator Dockstetter, are you ready on message number 428 to Senate File 169, Migratory Bird Refuge?
Mr. President.
Reading clerk, please read that in.
Message number 428, referencing Senate File 169, Migratory Bird Refuge.
Senator Dockstetter.
Mr. President, I move concurrence to message 148 to Senate File 169. Members of the Senate, we worked well on this here and then moved it down the hall. They wanted a little more specific language saying that we work with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, but we still limit to the original 7,000 acres, which we were seeking with the original bill. It was a good agreement, and I ask for the Senate's approval.
The motion is to concur with message number 428 to Senate File 169, Migratory Bird Refuge. You've been asked to vote aye. You vote aye. You vote to concur. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anthony Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercutt?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 28 aye, 2 no.
By your vote, you have concurred to message number 428 to Senate File 169, Migratory Bird Refuge. Mr. Minority Floor Leader, would you please come up here for a second? Senator Perkins, are you ready for message number 437 to Senate File 108, lawsuits challenging state legislative acts?
Yes, Mr. President, I am ready.
Reading clerk, please read that in.
Message number 437, referencing Senate File 108, lawsuits challenging state legislative acts.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move message number 437, concurrence request to Senate File 108, lawsuits challenging state legislative acts, and ask the body to vote aye. Members will remember, in this bill is trying to, the main idea of this was that state legislators, or as it were, citizen legislator, and being named individually in lawsuits that are rightfully against the state of Wyoming or the legislature as a whole, can have long-lasting effects, and given the fact that we're only here for a temporary period of time causes a number of issues for both in the process as well as can have effects that are far-reaching. And so what we did is ultimately in this, the statute provides some relief for legislators from being individually named when it really is against the institution as a whole of the state of Wyoming. What the House did is they decided that they went to Rules Committee, and the Rules Committee waxed a little bit more poetic. They rearranged some deck chairs. Ultimately, I believe that the intent of the statute is still intact. Ultimately, they just generalized the relief measures. If you look on the deletions on page 2, they generalized the relief provisions, just become so that now the relief provision in paragraph B will now read in its entirety, in any action challenging any official act of a member of the state legislature, the legislator shall be designated only by legislative office held unless the action seeks relief from other actions of the legislator other than actions taken in his official capacity. The intent there is to simply provide that overall relief, of which they took out some language that it could be a subset. You could interpret that easily as a subset of what they left in, so I didn't think that did any damage. Then the other change they went into Section 2, and they rewrote the first seven lines as what you see in the Section 2 provided there. And then because of those changes, the other changes are really just you see on page 3, line 17, and page 3, line 18 are just, these changes are all stylistic in nature. And I think left the purpose of the bill intact. And with that, I've asked for your concurrence request of our first vote to be aye.
The motion is to concur to message number 437 being Senate File 108, lawsuits challenging state legislative acts. You've been asked to vote aye. You vote aye. You vote to concur. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Boner? I'm sorry, Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon? Aye. Meyer? Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 aye, 2 no.
By your vote, you have concurred to message number 437 being Senate File 108, lawsuits challenging state legislative acts. I believe we have a joint conference committee report next. Senator Landon, are you ready? On message number 306, the Joint Conference Committee report to House Bill 27.
Mr. President, I am.
Reading, Reading clerk, please read that in.
Joint Conference Committee Number 1 Report, House Bill 27, School Facility Property Insurance, signed by Representatives Paxton, Northrop, and Zwanitzer, Senators Landon, Ellis, and Scott.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move Joint Conference Committee Report on House Bill 27, referencing Senate Message 306, and ask for your favorable consideration. We went down the hall and met with our counterparts and came back pretty much with the bill intact as we sent it out of the Senate. Fellow senators, we did three things in that conference committee. We dropped, you might remember the good work of the senator from Bates Creek, who expressed a little bit of concern that we make sure that that self-insurance pool for our school districts out there was adequate to cover the kinds of damages that we could incur in a disaster or whatever. And we had quite a bit of discussion about that. We dropped the level for districts not to have to insure a facility down to $50,000 instead of $100,000. We required a report by the Department of Insurance back to a couple of our committees here in the Senate, and we asked for that report no later than December 1st of 2017. The other side agreed to all of our language requesting that report, Mr. President, and so I would ask for your favorable consideration.
The motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 27 being Senate Message Number 306. You've been asked to vote aye to adopt. If you vote aye, you adopt the Joint Conference Committee Report. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson? Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 27 being original Senate Message Number 306. Senator Pappas, are you ready on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 22?
I am, Mr. President.
Reading clerk, please read that in.
Joint Conference Committee Number 1 Report, House Bill 22, Business Entities Communications Contact, signed by Representatives Wanitzer, Bikeman, and Sweeney, Senators Pappas, Agar, and Case.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. President, I move the Joint Committee Report to House Bill 22, referenced in message number 287, and I would ask for your concurrence, or your favorable vote. Basically, fellow senators, The changes that you see here are changes, the line 2, page 2, line 6, was a request that the House made. The language is pretty much similar. If you looked at the original bill, the language that we had was down in a sub article in little Romanet 5. That was removed and put up back into the main paragraph. And so the Senate committee didn't have any issue with that. Page 2, line 1 through lines 1 through 2 is actually a correction that LSO asked us to make. And so what they did is they put the language up above, struck employee or designated agent, because we've got that language down below under the under the shall not. And then include limited liability company member and manager and managing partner or trustee up in that first part of the language. A request that LSO made
because it needed to be there to read correctly. So with that explanation, it's a good change. I ask for your favorable consideration.
The motion is to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 22, being original Senate message number 287. You've been asked to vote aye. You vote aye, you vote to adopt the Joint Conference Committee Report. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Cope?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Hastert.
Aye.
Hastert, aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
Perkins, no. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote? Co, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing? Shard, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing? Vote closed. 26 aye, 4 no.
By your vote, you have adopted the Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 22, Senate Message Number 287. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I think we're ready for third reading consent list. Do you have a motion?
Mr. President, if I must, I do have a consent list. I do have a consent list. And the consent list, I move the consent list for third reading, which is as follows. House Bill 52, Governmental Immunity Cooperative Public Transportation. House Bill 75, Automatic Restoration of Right to Vote. House Bill 97, Wyoming Uniform Transfers to Minors Act Amendments. House Bill 119, Senior Citizen Districts Use of Revenues. House Bill 126, Elementary School Foreign Language Requirement. House Bill 131, Disposition of Lottery Proceeds. House Bill 189, Higher Education Non-Resident Tuition. House Bill 190, Hathaway Reserve Account. House Bill 202, Motor Vehicle Insurance Penalties. House Bill 209, Disparity in Wages and Benefits Between Men and Women. House Bill 219, Driver's Licenses Fees. House Bill 238, Nude Image of a Minor Disseminated or Possessed by a Minor. House Bill 263, Senior Citizen District Elections. House Bill 270, Wolf Management Trophy Game Animal.
Does anyone else wish to have any other House bills? Senator Perkins, do you have something else?
Yes, I'd ask that House Bill 75 be removed from the consent list.
Anybody else wish to have any other bills removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 52, Governmental Immunity, Cooperative Public Transportation. House Bill 97, Wyoming Uniform Transfers to Minors Act Amendments. House Bill 119, Senior Citizen District Use of Revenues. House Bill 126, Elementary School Foreign Language Requirement. House Bill 131, Disposition of Lottery Proceeds. House Bill 189, Higher Education Non-Resident Tuition. House Bill 190, Hathaway Reserve Accounts. House Bill 202, Motor Vehicle Insurance Penalties. House Bill 209, Disparity in Wages and Benefits Between Men and Women. House Bill 219, Driver's License Fees. House Bill 238, Nude Image of Minor Disseminated or Possessed by a Minor. House Bill 263, Senior Citizen District Elections. And House Bill 270, Wolf Management Trophy Game Animal. Chief Clerk, please call the roll on the consent list.
On the consent list, Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer? Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Bebout?
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 aye. House Bill 52. Are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote.
Perkins,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 52. 28 aye, 2 no. House Bill 97, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 97, 30 aye. House Bill 119, are there any changes?
Bebout, aye to no.
Bebout, aye to no.
Ellis, aye to no.
Ellis, aye to no. Co, aye to no. Case, aye to no.
Perkins, aye to no.
Hicks, aye to no.
Kinski, aye to no.
Landon, aye to no.
Burns, aye
to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 119, 21 aye, 9 no. House Bill 126, are there any changes? Case, aye to no.
Ellis,
aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 126, 24 aye, 6 no. House Bill 131, are there any changes? Case, aye to no.
Kinski, aye to no.
Kinski, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 131, 28 aye, 2 no. House Bill 189, are there any changes?
Bebout, aye to no.
Bebout, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Bouchard, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Agar, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Ellis, aye to no. Emmerich, aye to no.
Hicks,
aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Kinski, aye to no. Moniz, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Von Fladern, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Baldwin, aye to no. Boner, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Pappas, aye to no. Peterson, aye to no. Nethercott, aye to no. Anderson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing
vote closed. House Bill 189, 5 aye, 25 no. House Bill 190, are there any changes? Hicks, aye to no. Kinski, aye to no. Bouchard, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Agar, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Nethercott, aye to no. Kinski, no to aye. Baldwin, aye to no. Closing vote closed. House Bill 190, 21 aye, 9 no. House Bill 202, are there any changes? Ellis, aye to no. Bouchard, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Christensen, aye to
no. Bebout, aye to no.
Bebout, aye to no.
Hicks,
aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Emmerich, aye to no. Nethercott, aye to no. Pappas, aye to no. Closing vote. Dockstetter, aye to no. Closing vote closed. House Bill 202, 19 ayes, 11 no. House Bill 209, are there any changes? Hicks, aye to no. Moniz, aye to no. Closing vote closed. House Bill 209, 28 aye, 2 no. House Bill 219, are there any changes? Hicks aye to no. Scott no. Bouchard aye to no. Kinski aye to no. Agar aye to no. Boner aye to no. Case aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no.
Bebout, aye to no.
Bebout, aye to no. Closing vote. Ellis, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 219, 18 aye, 12 no. House Bill 238, are there any changes? Wasserberger, aye to no. Closing vote closed. House Bill 238, 29 aye, 1 no. House Bill 263, are there any changes? Coe, aye to no. Closing vote closed. House Bill 263, 29 aye, 1 no. House Bill 270, are there any changes? Kinski, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote closed. House Bill 270, 28 aye, 2 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 52, Governmental Immunity Cooperative Public Transportation, House Bill 97, Wyoming Uniform Transfers to Minors Act Amendments, House Bill 119, Cedar Citizen District Use of Revenues, House Bill 126, Elementary School Foreign Language Requirement, House Bill 131, Disposition of Lottery Proceeds, House Bill 190, Hathaway Reserve Accounts, House Bill 202, Motor Vehicle Insurance Penalties, House Bill 209, Disparity in Wages and Benefits Between Men and Women, House Bill 219, driver's licenses and fees. House Bill 238, nude image of minor disseminated or possessed by a minor. House Bill 263, senior citizen district elections. And House Bill 270, wolf management trophy game animal, have passed the House. Senate. House Bill 189, having failed to receive a vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 189 has failed to pass the Senate. Senator Offutt, you may.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've been having some identity problems recently, and I just wanted to remind the body, this is the Senate. Thank you, Mr. President.
I'm reminded of Senator Coe telling me that I got to come down to the end of the hall where the Senate is. Senator Wasserberger, I don't know if there's that block in the back of our mind that wants to keep saying that word. We're not going to do it anymore. Okay, bills, continuation of bills on third reading, House Bill 50. Whoops, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 50, Limitation on Delegates, Constitution Amendment Conventions, sponsored by Representative Larson, an act relating to a convention for proposing amendments to the United States Constitution.
We have a third reading amendment. Reading clerk, please read that in.
House Bill 50, third reading amendment number 1, page 8, line 9.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 50. And, Mr. President, what I did in this particular bill is if we have a constitutional convention and the Congress then determines whether whether it should be an amendment is successfully passed in that convention, Congress then decides whether it should be ratified either by the legislatures of the states or if they should have ratifying conventions. And so this bill is already in statute, and it there are just some tweaks on the process in this bill. Going through this bill, Mr. President, I noticed that for ratifying conventions, they would start at the precinct level, then go to the county level, then have a state convention. So what this amendment does is it gets rid of the precinct aspects of it and starts with the county conventions and then goes straight to the state conventions from there. So what I did on this amendment, or what the good senator from District 22 and I did, was we stated that each county shall send no more than five delegates automatically to the state convention. That's the minimum that they can send. And of those three, no more than three shall be from the same political party. Then after that, they will, for every 1,000 people of population in that county, they'll send an additional person to the county convention so that the larger counties are represented in terms of their size at the county convention at the state convention for the ratifying. Mr. Chairman, the amendment is actually much smoother than my presentation of it. And with that, I would be glad to take any questions.
Further discussion. We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 50. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 50 has passed. House Bill 50, having read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar? Aye. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Raffas?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebaugh?
Aye.
Aye.
Raffas,
aye to no. Baldwin, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 21 aye, 9 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 50 has passed the Senate. House Bill 58, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 58, School Facilities Appropriations, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to school facility projects.
We do have an amendment. Reading clerk, please read that amendment in.
House File 58, third reading amendment number 1, page 13, after line 7.
Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 58. Senators, we're back again to try to get funding for Laramie County Schools. We will not press upon the point any further about the need. The feedback from the body is there is an understanding that there is a real need here, and so there's no need to elaborate on that point. So the question is funding, and again, that conversation has been, this is a hard decision. And no one doubts that this is a hard decision, but so is denying quality education or even an equal education to the students of Laramie County. And so I urge you to, for your favorable recommendation of this amendment, this restores the funding that was originally taken out of the bill for the construction of Cary Junior High. The source of funding for this comes out of unrealized capital gains. So in the event that Wyoming's revenue picture works as we hoped it to, that the funds from that will come from there. So this is a long shot for us, even if this amendment passes, but we have hopes that the state's revenue picture will become more stable, and in the event that happens, the carry can be paid for. So we're not taking money from any other sources, from any other institutions, from any other communities across this state or other school projects. This is really based on those unrealized capital gains that would typically be going into the LISREF, just making sure that Cary gets funded in the event Wyoming's revenue picture straightens out. I urge your favorable recommendation for this bill, your favorable vote for this amendment, and stand for questions and additional conversation. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator Von Flader, come up here for a second, please.
Mr. President?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Vice President. Member of the Senate, just think about what we're doing here. We all understand the need for the project. We all understand the tough discussion we've had on it. You know, we did this a couple of years ago, and I hate to use the word tranches, but now we're going out there and capturing money from unrealized capital gains, and we're earmarking it for a specific project. I would just vote your conscience, member of the Senate, but I would urge you to consider the consequences that if we start down this road, you know, where do we stop and how many projects we want to do and build, and we don't even have the money. We're talking about unrealized capital gains. Thank you.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, my Vice President, you know, I realize we have issues with, you know, the prospect of tapping unrealized capital gains. It's kind of outside of the thinking that we'd like to go to because of kind of our past experiences trying to do that. But let me remind you that Cary Junior High went through the process, and the process failed it. The process said that we were going to provide this school for Laramie 2, who's in dire need. Again, we're not going to discuss need anymore. But for all of those who voted no on this in the past, I want you to think about the process. Think about all the hard work that committees do. We're always told, you know, you've got to back our committees because, you know, we've got to give them the support. But then when we do that, our committees work hard during the interim to work on that, and then we just simply disregard all the work that they did. I submit to you that the next time you sit on a committee, are you going to take it seriously when you know in the blink of an eye all your work can be thrown away? I submit to you, think again if you vote no. And I won't be able to vote since I have a conflict. But I implore you, think about how it's going to affect the entire process from here on out. We have to rely on the hard work of our committees. You know, we're asked all the time to support all the hard work of our Joint Appropriations Committee because they've listened to the testimony. They've heard everything. I submit to you, so has all these other committees. Are we gonna negate that? I think not. I think not. I think we have to support our committees and in doing so, we'll give them the ability for the next interim to not think that their work will be in vain. So I ask you to please support this amendment.
Senator Ellis?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have thought long and hard about whether or not we should take a third stab at this. And, you know, I appreciate all the deliberation we've had. And, you know, to some degree, you evaluate that, you know, do we bring this again and hit on those same points? And, you know, there was part of me that said, no, let's let this sleeping dog lie. But then all of a sudden you start getting some emails from people that you know. And one friend of mine sent me a text, and she said, something to keep in mind, her son started kindergarten in a module here in Laramie County, and in third grade, they started hearing some rumors that maybe they'd get a new elementary school built, and that still hasn't happened. This kid is almost now 23 years old. From another friend of mine, she said that her son is in a modular. He refuses to drink water during the day because he doesn't want to urinate during the day. It's too cold to go to the main building. And when he goes to the main building, the school is locked, and so he has to get permission to enter his own school to go to the bathroom. I know we're putting you in a very difficult position, Senators, but think of this kid every day that doesn't drink water because he doesn't want to go to the bathroom because he has to leave his module and go into a building to do that. With that, Mr. President, I'd urge this body to vote in favor of this amendment.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, on and against the amendment, as I said, it was not an easy decision to make, and as to the aspect of the process, this is part of the process. And we all know when we first come down here and so forth, and we see that sheet, that there's 26 different stages at which any bill can fail. And the same thing happens in terms of appropriations. I appreciate the good senator's compliment to the Appropriations Committee for how hard we work, but this was an appropriations recommendation to remove the funding for this school. I also have something of a problem trying to understand where the members of the delegation are going with this, because on first reading, on Committee of the Whole, it was to restore the money for this school, then yesterday it was money for an elementary school, and then today it's back to the junior high school. With that, I would ask the body to resist this amendment.
Any other discussion before sponsor speaks for her second time? Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. For my first time, a couple of points that I think are important to the way this is being funded and the thoughts that we have with regard to the prospect of having some unrealized capital gains before the next budget. There's a timeline associated with this capital construction project, and I think everybody in the chamber probably knows that this project is going to get done. I think we would all agree that the project will happen and it will be paid for by the state of Wyoming. I assume everybody in here concurs with that. The question is, Mr. President, when? We have currently, as we all know, a substantial amount of money in the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account, not as much as we would like, but we have money there. And if we end up with additional revenue from our investment, it's simply going to pour into that fund to wait. It's going to be money that's not put to work. It will receive a less than 0% return on investment based on current projections. So it will actually be funds that will decay in value, not just relative to inflation, but relative to real dollar value, instead of helping the state. The alternative, if we pass this amendment, which I support, we will be able to put those funds to work in the state of Wyoming to invest in the state within the next year. So rather than delaying this project by an additional year, this amendment offers the possibility of getting things done, putting our money to work, investing in our own people, and helping those children that the good senator from here in Laramie County was talking about. Which is the better use of money? Just leaving it in the bank account where its value will erode, or investing in our people? And I think the answer should be pretty clear. To me, as a member of that school facilities committee, this is a great investment.
Anyone else for their first time? Senator Nethercott, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. To dovetail off the good senator from Albany County and the president, vote your conscience. Vote your conscience for the kids and vote your conscience for the pocketbook of Wyoming. Waiting means it will cost millions and millions of dollars more when we're ready to build now. Based on the hard work done by our committees, by following the process and following the law, vote your conscience, vote for the kids, vote for the bottom line of Wyoming. This amendment risks nothing. In the event that we have that money, we can invest it back into this community. We are focused on economic development. Do you think that those gun manufacturers who are relocating into Laramie County are factoring in where their kids are going to go to school? Do you think that they're concerned about their children's safety when they're walking from the modular into the school? Do you think they want their kids to go to school in a modular? No. Because I don't want my kids to go to school in a modular. I don't want your kids to go to school in a modular when we have money to pay for it. So I urge you. It's okay to think outside the box. It's okay that in extraordinary times we do extraordinary things. Vote your conscience. Do the right thing on and for this amendment.
Okay. We're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 58. Will Chief Kirk please call the roll?
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
No.
No. Case? No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter? No. Driscoll? No. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas Conflict? Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern? No. Wasserberger? No. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 11 aye, 18 no, 1 conflict.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 58 has failed. House Bill 58, having read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case? No. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll? Aye. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert? Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
No.
No. Pappas? Conflict? No. Perkins? Perkins, aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladeren?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing Hastert? Aye to no. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 20 aye, 10 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 58 has passed the Senate. House Bill 75, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 75, engrossed, automatic restoration of the right to vote, sponsored by Representative Byrd, an act relating to criminal procedure.
Discussion. Senator Perkins.
I ask that this be pulled off so we could just think about it. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, there is a process to have your rights restored. That process has worked for many years. What the bill before you have, basically, you just, it happens. And it seems to me that we talk about the concepts of restorative justice and other things. There's a whole function out there about how do you do restorative justice and how do you, and I wouldn't mind if this was part of a restorative justice process where there was a process you're going through and there were people making amends and resolving those issues and there was some process you went through to do that. And at the end of the day, this doesn't really have much of a process. It's just basically you did your time, you have paid your debt to society, but as everyone knows, there are far-reaching ramifications for felony convictions. And that's one of the reasons why this body has forever, Mr. President, tried to take those felony convictions seriously and been careful, been judicious about what is a felony and not as a felony, because it has a dramatic effect on constitutional rights. And so here we are with a bill that I understand the arguments for it. The other problem that I have with this bill, and I'm assuming it'll be fixed I'm assuming that this is the first step and they'll be back again. But it makes a distinction between nonviolent and violent felonies as though that's a great bright line. And I don't see it. I mean, at the end of the day, you can have one person who makes a one-time mistake in a violent felony. It could be a vehicular homicide. It could be an aggravated assault with a vehicle while under the influence. That happens 10 years ago. They've been clean and sober for 15 years. This doesn't apply to them. On the other hand, a nonviolent felony, somebody who had ripped off elderly people, maybe ruined their retirements, and had long-lasting and extensive ramifications, they get a walk on it. And I just struggle with this, and for that reason, Mr. President, I just want us to think about it, and I intend to vote no.
Senator Anselmi Dalton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would honor for the bill. These people have served their time. They get out. They're not getting back their right to bear arms, which is a big thing in the Senate. They're not getting that back. They're just getting their right to vote back. It's a confusing process. It's hard. They wait 5 years. I don't really see the point of it. It's confusing to the jails. This is just to kind of make it a little bit easier. All they're getting is their right to vote on and for.
Further discussion, Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for this bill. I had a young man come to me. He was about 27. And he thought he'd never get the vote again. And he said, you know, I can't vote. And I said, why? And he explained that, you know, being a dumb 18, 19-year-old. But he got convicted for a felony, a nonviolent felony. And he went, and I said, well, you should go down there and apply. And he said, I don't know anything about the process. Go down and apply. He got his voting rights back. So this is a good bill. Not only do you sentence somebody or they go through their probation or parole, but when they're done with society, they don't understand that there's another five-year penalty waiting for them on the right to vote. This is a good bill. Once they serve their time, they should have the right to vote just like everybody else.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the bill as well. I do agree with the fine senator from Casper that you know it doesn't address the violent felons, and I think probably we need to address that in a future bill because I too think that they I know I mentor a violent felon that's in prison right now, and I can see the changes in his life, and I think that if he stays that way for many years, I think he should have his right to vote restored. But what I don't want is to be inadvertently making felons out of folks who think they're doing right, who don't understand the process. They go and vote, and all of a sudden they're caught because of this law that we have, and they're a felon because they are not knowing what they're doing. They're voting and not understanding that they can't vote. Don't think anybody that would really understand that would go and vote and risk the felony. So I think it's a good law. I think we ought to pass it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Driscoll.
President, thank you. My interpretation's always been when somebody went to prison and you got out, we wanted to do everything we could to get them to be a productive part of our society, get them back in, get them where they fit, get them where they can get a job, get them where they could be proud to be a part of what we do. And that's exactly what this does, is it gives them an automatic chance to step in and be a part of society. This doesn't have to do with how we penalize somebody or not penalize somebody. It's about, do we want to help them be a part of society quicker, or do we want to make them go through a process and maybe make it where they're not a part of society? And we all know what that means. If they're not a part of society, they're going to go back into the system somewhere. So let's get them on the right path, and let's help them do it. This is a good bill for that.
Senator Case.
There's definitely one thing I would like to clear up. This bill actually doesn't change who qualifies, Mr. President, with regards to the violent, nonviolent. That is an existing law. This bill only makes the process automatic in the sense that if you are one of those people that qualify, the process will move on its own. Now, I also want to be very clear, there's also the issue of the 5 years, Mr. President. This bill removes the 5 years. But with regard to everything else, it just takes the procedure that exists now and makes it automatic. So think about that for a second. They could apply now, but it is a bureaucratic procedure. There is snaggles in paperwork, Mr. President. They may not know, and we make them wait 5 years. So think about a person that would have been able to vote if they had waited 5 years and followed all the process, but they stumble in and vote after 3 years because they think they can vote. That is a 5-year felony, Mr. President. This is a really good bill. We have too many felons. We are very hard on felonies and making things. But don't you all agree? Haven't you all had something change in your life? It just changed your life. Well, if I were to guess, I bet prison changes people's lives. And serving their debt to society and fulfilling all the terms of their probation and parole and the restitution and sitting in a cell, I think that changes people. Let's give them a handshake. Let's say welcome back.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, on and against the bill. Members of the body, I want you to think about what we're doing here. And what we're doing is we're talking about a burden of responsibility. You know, when you have rights, you also have responsibility. You as a voter have a responsibility when you move from one side of town, from a precinct to another. It's your responsibility to go change your voter registration. With every right that is conveyed through government or statute, it is your responsibility. And what we're saying here is we've already established a process, and we've said the responsibility for restoring your voter rights is for you as the individual to go out there and follow the process that's been established. We're not denying him the ability to come back and restore. We're saying it is a right, but you have a responsibility to exercise that right. That's what we do today. What this does is it now says it's the government's responsibility for you
to restore your rights. I contend that's probably the wrong model. You need to exercise your rights, restore your own voter rights instead of having automatic government restore your rights. On and against the bill.
Center office.
And for my first time, on and for the bill, and you know, there's a bit of a Wyoming Constitution that we don't bring up very often in here, but it's Article 1, Section 15, which talks about the Penal Code of Wyoming. And what it indicates is the Penal Code shall be framed on the humane principles of reformation and prevention, not punishment. Reformation and prevention. Certainly not bureaucracy. And what we have at this point in time is not consistent with those objectives of reformation and prevention. The idea that once you've served your time, once our state has deemed that you've spent sufficient time in prison, parole, probation, and you're done, it's perfectly reasonable for the state then to step up and say, all right, welcome back. Welcome back to the state of Wyoming. Hopefully you've been reformed. You have your voting rights restored, and the state is welcoming you back. This legislation does that. It takes that step. We're a lot better off with legislation like this where we're welcoming them back into society instead of allowing them back into society but still trying to keep a distance and prevent them from engaging. Mr. President, this is a good bill.
Okay. House Bill 75. Having read three separate times, the question is, shall the House bill pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Cope?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz? Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 22 aye, 8 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 75 has passed the Senate. House Bill 76, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 76, engrossed American Indian Education Program, sponsored by Representative Allen, an act relating to public education.
We have an amendment. Reading clerk, please read that in.
House Bill 76, third reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, corrected copy, page 2, line 3.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 76 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, first of all, I'd like to apologize to you and the body. This should have been a second reading amendment. We don't know exactly where the snafu took place, so I apologize for bringing it on third reading. Mr. President, this is a good bill, and I'm probably going to vote for it regardless of what happens with this amendment. However, in the discussion on this, I've been bothered by the emphasis on the northern Arapaho and the eastern Shoshone. That's well and good if you live in the central part of the state, but up where we live, as I had mentioned the other day, when you say the res, you're talking about the Crow Reservation. And I can literally see the Crow Reservation from my house, not the whole thing, obviously, but I can see the edge of it. And I live south of the city of Sheridan. The good senator from Devil's Tower mentioned that he's got 21 different tribes who reside in his district. The city of Buffalo has a special relationship with the Northern Cheyenne. So, Mr. President, what this amendment does is it removes the the specific references to the Northern Arapaho and the Eastern Shoshone, and then when you get down to page 2, line 12, we insert the tribes of the region so that they can have input into any sort of curriculum that that the schools may want to do. And I think this bill would serve as an invitation to them, even though they may be out headquartered outside the state. They are very close to the state, and I think this would serve as a welcoming gesture to them.
Further discussion? Senator Case?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. President. I think I understand the sentiment behind this amendment. I want you to think about a little bit of a perhaps different sentiment. History has placed us together in Wyoming. History drew the boundaries. I'm always fascinated by those boundaries and those old maps of the boundaries. But this is where Wyoming was established, with these boundaries. The year that we became a state was 1890. At that time, there was already functioning government of in Wyoming and the by the Shoshone people on the reservation, granted to them in 1868 and prior acts. The Arapaho people had already been placed on that reservation. So it's this history that has made us co-sovereigns, if you want me to allow me to use that term. We share so much. Those native peoples are citizens of Wyoming. We share functions with respect to all sorts of government, including education. I think if we don't respect that history has brought us together and the important role that those two tribes play and are co-sovereigns in Wyoming over the land that they are sovereign over, we're making a mistake. And I want you to understand something else. I have been to many festivals, many powwows, many things where so many different tribes come to participate, all sorts of different tribes. I'm always amazed. And I'm willing, and I would bet the entire everything I have on the fact that I think Native people appreciate the culture, the history, the traditions, the religion of other Native people far better than a non-Native person can. And so they're actually extremely tolerant about that. We read about fights between the two tribes that share the reservation. That's really a function of Congress that made that. There's no other reservation like that. But they really do respect each other, and they'll be very careful, and they'll be very helpful, and it'll all work out. And what's that movie that says, if it doesn't work out right in the end, it's not the end? This will work out. Against the amendment.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President, on and against the amendment for the simple reason that it's just a matter of logistics. The purpose of that, if you look at the top of page 2, the State Board, through the Department of Education, shall, in cooperation with the Eastern and Northern Arapaho Indian Tribes, this simply strikes that out and makes tribes native to the area. So now the State Board would have to consult with or cooperate with, in doing that, if this amendment passes, potentially Northern Arapaho, Shoshone, Crow, I think Northern Cheyenne, potentially several members of the Sioux. I don't know about Southwestern Wyoming, potentially Ute. I mean, at some point, it becomes difficult. It doesn't mean that it shouldn't happen. It can't happen later. But ultimately, just what this does is cooperation in developing standards, and it's going to complicate that. And I'm afraid it could complicate to the point where it doesn't get done.
Okay. Anybody else before the sponsor speaks for a second time? Senator Barnard.
Mr. President, I've been privileged to be on the Tribal Relations Council, and as I visited the different tribes and on the Indian Reservation, the Arapaho and the Shoshones, I've really come to love these people. And they really are part of Wyoming. These are the central part of Wyoming. And the Wind River Reservation takes up a large area of our state. And these people really want to see this bill happen. They have a lot of pride, and they should have, and I think this will help them develop further that pride and be able to have the people of this state, especially the young people, understand why these people are here, how they got here, and some of the hardships that they've had. So I would be against this amendment.
Okay. Senator Ellis?
Thank you, Mr. President. Just briefly, I wanted to thank my colleague, the good majority floor leader. He's exactly right. Without clarity, we're looking at many tribes that are undefined. I don't think that gives the State Board or the Department of Education the clarity they need to actually implement this effectively, so I'd urge you to defeat this amendment.
Anybody else for the first time? Senator Burns, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the this amendment is not exclusive, does not exclude the Shoshone or the Arapaho in any way. It doesn't stop the state education department from cooperating with them in any way whatsoever. It is actually inclusive to the other tribes and members of the tribes that reside in the state. I have members of the Crow tribe who go to school in my district. And to say, especially on line 8, where it says particular emphasis on Eastern Shoshone and Northern Arapaho Indian tribes, I think they would consider that an insult to them. Now, you're talking about the good senator from the southwest part of the state talked about the hardships that these tribes have been through. I think you could say that about every tribe. I reside on what was traditionally the original homeland of the Crow, and then after that was the land of the Sioux. And many of them reside in the northeast part of the state. And I think that this hurts them. If you go up to the northwest, extreme northwest part of the state, you had the Bannock tribe, and before that you had the Sheep Eaters. This amendment is meant to be inclusive to all of them. And the way the bill is written without it, it excludes them. And I think that's sending the wrong message.
Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 76. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
That amendment has failed. Division being called for. All those in favor, please stand. All opposed, please stand. That amendment has passed. 16 aye votes. House Bill 76. Any further discussion? House Bill 76, having read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the House bill pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Downton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
No.
Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski, no to aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 27 aye, 3 no.
House Bill 76, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 76 has passed the Senate. House Bill 197, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 197, Engrossed, Marijuana and THC Products Policy Reform Act, sponsored by Representative Olson, an act related to controlled substances.
We have a couple amendments. Will the reading clerk please read in the First Amendment, Third Reading Amendment Number 1.
House Bill 197, Third Reading Amendment Number 1, to Engrossed Copy, Corrected Copy, page 1, line 4.
Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 197. Fellow senators, I was contacted by LSO that we needed to do some conforming amendments based on the passage of the amendment yesterday. And so this particular amendment simply conforms it based on the removal of the two-year misdemeanor sentence and removing the concept of an elevated misdemeanor offense and just keeping the law the way it was originally intended. So these are just conforming amendments. I stand for questions and ask for your favorable consideration.
Question. Okay, we're voting on Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 197. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 197 has passed. Third Reading Amendment Number 2, Reading Clerk, please read that in.
House Bill 197, Third Reading Amendment Number 2 to Engrossed Copy, Corrected Copy, page 1, line 2.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd move...
I'm sorry, we can't find the amendment, Mr. President.
Hold on a second. We have it up here. Do you all have Third Reading Amendment Number 2? Senator Casey, you got 3 days old amendments in your hand, I guess. What's, the back row doesn't have it? I guess we're leaving you out. How have you been voting lately, Senator Case? Okay, send old Sanonese till we get that amendment to him. So if someone wants to take a quick break while we're getting it, you can do that.
They'd already appointed there, so should I take this paragraph out?
Nope.
Okay.
They did the wrong thing, so you're doing the right thing.
Okay. So, all righty. Yep. So, that's through the last.
Yep. If you want to. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. You got a message.
They adopted 32, so we should vote on that. Judy? Who adopted Conference Committee reports today? I haven't taken them apart yet.
So they're still printing stuff on the printer, and you know, I signaled to Christensen, it's their reading, but he says we need to get it. So
okay, that's fine.
And, okay.
Yep.
So,
yeah, I'll see. It's important.
Senate, please come to order. Question being called for? Okay, third reading amendment number 2. Has that been read in? Okay, Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 197 is the result.
Move it, please.
I moved that when I called for the question. But I'll move it again. I'd move the third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 197, Mr. President. Mr. President, this little amendment just does some, again, a little bit of cleanup on this. We get into some of these issues, and thank goodness we have a lot of different folks putting their eyes on it. And that was the case yesterday when they went into it and said, we need to remove, since we removed plant form, and this is really just talking about edibles or byproducts or other products of marijuana, to remove plant form on the first page. Then on page 3, we delete the first Senate Standing Committee amendment on page 3, and that is paragraph G, as otherwise provided in this subsection for controlled substance in any other form, no more than 3 grams. And we replace that with a different language in G, except as otherwise provided in this subsection for controlled substance containing marijuana or a THC or THC, which controlled substance is not a marijuana product, as defined in subparagraph C, V, I, and E of this section, and which is in the form of another, in a form other than a form specified in this paragraph, no more than 3 grams. And that goes in and is consistent with the amendment we made the other day for controlled substances when we're talking about the smaller and more refined items such as a hash oil or a high concentrate of hash oil that's been carried in a wax substance that it's been explained to us is inhaled in one breath and highly concentrated. We needed to do this so that when we just use the language controlled substance without controlled substance containing marijuana, we felt like it went too far and got into other parts of law. And so that's why we replace G with the new G. And then over on page 4, line 12, we remove language that says if a person has no previous conviction under this section or under any other similar law in another jurisdiction. And the reason we did that, we actually did that in twice, was because, again, we felt like we were reaching too far. Some people would like to see this narrowed down, that it's very clear if they have any other drug offense. But this is really new law, and it's specifically to edibles. And so we felt like in order to be consistent and to be clear on the message, we needed to get rid of that first offense language where it might capture other charges or other drug issues. So tightened it up a little bit. That's all we did. And ask for your favorable motion or consideration on the bill.
Further consideration on this amendment? Further discussion? We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 197. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no? Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 197 has passed. Third reading amendment number 3. Reading clerk, please read that in.
House Bill 197, third reading amendment number 3 to engrossed copy, page 4, line 15.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 197. Ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, there is some discussion about the look-back time here as far as how it came from the other body, what the committee did. The other body had it at 5 years. The committee went to 10 years. There's also some language in those paragraphs, Mr. Chairman, about excluding periods of incarceration. And the way I understand that is that you have a 10-year look-back time, but if you're in prison for anything, that's taken off of that. And so if you're doing a 10-year stretch for something else, you could actually this would 10-year look-back time could go into hibernation, I guess, and then when you get out, then it's you go through probation and parole and those things, and then you still have, from the time you get out, whatever's left on your look-back time. So you could have possibly 20 years of this look-back time coming into consideration when you could come back and get an automatic felony if it's on your fourth or subsequent conviction, or the other enhancements on your other convictions. So what this does is, I think, try to simplify the premise of a look-back time to say that it's essentially 10 years, whether you're incarcerated for any other reason, and that's basically the look-back time. So it gets rid of the excluding periods of incarceration. Otherwise, Mr. President, I think you could have it almost be hard to keep track about how many years a person actually would be affected by some of these things. And I think when you get into different series of sentencing and other things in these areas, whether or not it would actually be looked at all if somebody had a conviction or something, or whether it would be set back, there is some judicial discretion in some of these things. But this makes it, I think, a lot simpler for the whole process to function. And so that's essentially why I brought it, Mr. President.
Senator Nethercott.
Mr. President, the good senator behind me has illustrated a very important point, that when you're actually practicing these statutes and trying to determine someone's periods of incarceration in the event they're what's known as a frequent flyer can be very, very difficult. And my concern here is that a miscalculation can result in a serious consequence, and that's not what this bill is intending to do. So I am on and for this amendment. It makes good practical sense.
Okay, further discussion? There being none, third reading amendment number, you're voting on third reading amendment 3 to House Bill 197. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 197 has passed. Further discussion on 197. Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and against the bill in its current form, and I was in the chair when we were discussing it originally, so I didn't have an opportunity to weigh in, but 197 as amended at this point, I'll start off by saying I really am not entirely sure what it does. There's so many things have been changed, so much has gone on, that what started with a bill that was pretty straightforward, creating a series of different tiers for marijuana possession of low levels with some misdemeanors, now has separated out edibles and then even some subcategory of edibles that are highly concentrated, and set those aside and are handled differently than leafy marijuana product. So we have several different classes of characteristics that are not quantified, so we still don't have any analysis of the concentration. We have a little bit of detail about how they were prepared, but there's nothing left about concentration, so that we get back to the same problem we discussed last year, which led to the demise of last year's bill, which is that what really matters is how much THC you have. That's what matters, or THCA. The values there should somehow relate to the outcome, but through this legislation, they don't in any way. And again, we had discussion last year, Mr. President, about how difficult it is to do that lab analysis. Not that it's difficult to do the lab analysis. It's difficult to find somebody who is willing to do the lab analysis with a chain of evidence, custody, and everything else you're supposed to do. So this, as it stands now, does not make things simpler. It does not solve a problem. It creates a lot of confusion and complexity that didn't previously exist, and leaves wide open the discussion we had previously about the idea of, well, how much THC is in the brownie. That doesn't matter. All that matters is how much brownie you've got. So the recipe I use determines whether I'm a felon or a misdemeanor. If I like my brownies rich and I add a lot of extra volume of water and cream and maybe a little additional flour, I become a felon. Where if I just like some dry, plain, and less tasty THC-filled brownies, then I can be a misdemeanor. at that point. I can have four times the concentration, Mr. President. Those can be some potent brownies. But at the end of the day, I can select whether these are misdemeanor brownies or felony brownies based on my recipe. And that's not the intent. That's not good legislation. We've gotten to the point where we're wrapped around the axle once again. I think this is the piece of legislation that has earned the label not ready for prime time, if any has this session. I understand the struggle. We all do. We've been through this time and again. This is not the solution to just start dangling ornaments on a piece of legislation that came from the other chamber. And I'd urge the body to resist this. It's just not ready yet, and it's certainly not consistent, I think, with what the original intent was, which was to clarify. This further confuses the heck out of me, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, excuse me. Mr. President, this is a pretty simple and straightforward bill, and most of what the previous speaker said was helped clarify this. It talks about edibles, an issue of the law that our courts have begged to have resolved. It talks about edibles, a part that our schools have been very concerned about. In addressing the edible solution, we came up with a pretty mild response as far as a tiered system of dealing with, of warning, of slap on the hands, whatever you call it. But we went to the far extreme compared to all of the other drug laws out there to try to create a little room. This is a good bill. This answers a problem. It's a real danger. In my testimony a couple days ago, I talked about the music group that took a trip out of state, and the one student who thought candy bars aren't illegal in Wyoming, bought some in Colorado, brought them to Wyoming, got on the bus, went to another state, proceeded to sell them. There was a high school kid who was at serious risk of being a felon because they have addressed the problem. We need to address this for the safety of our kids, to clear up what's going on in Wyoming and get a handle on this. Law enforcement, the judiciary, the schools, and the people who are studying the effects and the potency, we're not talking about the old homemade brownies from the 70s, folks. We're talking about high-concentration commercial products that have proven to lead people to fatal decisions from Wyoming. We need to close this loophole and ask for your vote.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, the bill is actually very simple. We had a judge that struck down felony possession of edibles in the state of Wyoming. This restores that category of felony possession of edibles. Green leafy, 3 ounces or less, misdemeanor. More than that, felony. Edibles, 8 ounces or less, misdemeanor with graduated penalties. 8 ounces or more, felony. Highly concentrated amounts, 3 grams. Very simple, very straightforward. This bill is very much needed and very much overdue. Urge the body's favorable consideration.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I'm somewhat confused. Does this bill, as the bill did last year, count in the weight the non-THC product? So as the good senator from Laramie was saying, if I bake a cake or if somebody bakes a cake and they put just, you know, let's say one dose of THC in there, what's viewed as a dose to the state south of us, is the entire weight of the cake counted in there, and therefore does it become a felony? And if that's the case, this bill is problematic.
Anybody else for their first time before this? Senator Case.
Mr. President, tagging on that same question, look at the other types that are in liquid form, a powder form, and a pill or capsule form. And there are limits of weight to those, and there's an assumption that those are highly concentrated. And I suppose they probably mostly are. But a liquid form could be diluted with another liquid. A powder form could be powder, even if it's pure product, could be diluted with another powder. The pill or capsules can have the same dilution. So it's the same problem for those as I see it. We're not actually measuring the potency. We're just measuring the quantity, even though we kind of are getting in the right direction with these other forms, but they're not necessarily highly concentrated.
Anybody else for their first time? Here we go. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, you know, we've worked on this for 2 years in the judiciary. I'm going to tell you a little something. That this whole idea of measuring THC concentration is nothing more than a stalking horse. It's a big old red herring thrown out there to kill this. And I'm going to tell you, we took 2 years' worth of testimony. We had our DCI. We had private laboratories come in. We've had people from all over the country testify onto the fact that we do not have the available technology right now to rapidly test THC concentration. In fact, what we've been had testimony on from the state to the south of us is the manufacturing industry is outpacing and outcreating everything that the state of Colorado is doing and trying to track this. Let me give you an example. You can go down there now and you can buy a brownie and you can test this, and it'll come up with almost no THC concentration. But right on that brownie, it says you have to heat this in the microwave for 2 minutes because THC is reactive to heat. It does not release from the plant form until you interact it with a certain temperature. So we can send this to the lab, and it'll come back, and it'll say, oh, no, that's no THC or almost indefinable amount of THC. You heat it up, it'll knock the socks off an elephant, Mr. President, probably a whole herd of elephants. The point is that I'm trying to get to here. If you want to sit here and say, oh, we didn't measure the concentration, the ability to rapidly do this now and reliable to do it and come back doesn't exist. So the policy question is, and we struggled with this for 2 years, if we can't do that, and the drug industry is quicker and more nimble than government will ever be because there's billions and billions of dollars of revenue being derived for this. How much money do you want to spend? $1 billion? So we come back to the same thing over and over and over again. What's the compromise position? For 3 years we've worked on this. We had a subcommittee on this to find what the compromise position was. Last year it came into this body as a pound. We sent it back out here as 3 ounces. The House killed the bill. We took it back to judiciary. We worked it. We settled on a subcommittee of 8 ounces. That's what's in here today, folks. That's the compromise position. If you just want to have truckloads of edibles come in here, then just get into the stalking horse argument. Oh, we can't measure the concentration. That's designed to kill the bill. The 8 ounces is exactly what the senator from Sheridan asked. It's a weight measure. But the reason is because we cannot quickly and accurately be able to measure the concentration. And even if we do, they've already evolved past the point where we can do that. On and for the bill.
Anybody else for their first time? Senator Bouchard.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I just heard that there wasn't a problem here, but it says for the purposes of determining the weights to be given on controlled substances under this section, the weights designated in this section shall include the weight of controlled substance and the weight of any carrier element, cutting agent, diluting agent, or any other substance. You know, I know there are people that take they take the non-THC oils, and then they take the somewhat of the THC oil, and they mix it with essential oils, and it's for Parkinson's. They're trying things, and I just wonder, would somebody that took a half an ounce of THC, put it in with an essential oil, and then the non-THC oils that come out of cannabis, and they were driving around and were stopped, wouldn't they be under, I mean, we're including the weight, so they had, let's say they had 10 ounces of total product, but it was only a half an ounce of the THC, now we're saying it's going to be everything. So I don't know. I think this is confusing. I'm against it.
Okay. Anyone else before Senator Office speaks for a second time? Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to address some of the thoughts and concerns raised. And the idea that it's difficult to do the mass analysis is true. Only from the standpoint that there aren't labs that are currently certified to do it. The actual chemistry is not all that difficult. This is old school chemistry that's been around for quite a while to do that analysis. To do it in a repeated fashion where you have confidence that the results are consistent throughout the product, That's more difficult because you need repeated analysis to do that. So it becomes expensive, it becomes difficult, but it's certainly not technically impossible or anything close to it. It's very easily realized. The idea that you can have a brownie that doesn't have THC but would produce THC upon heating is certainly accurate because you end up with a concentration of THCA, which is tetrahydrocannabinolic acid, which is a different state of the THC, and when you heat it, it turns into the THC. So that's common when marijuana is smoked, for example. A lot of the THC is present in the THCA form, but upon heating, it turns into THC. So that's accurate, but it would be simple then to just include both quantities in the analysis as is done elsewhere in statute. So it's easy to overcome that through drafting. The idea of highly concentrated, as a chemical engineer, I can't tell you what that means. I don't know how a court's going to. Highly concentrated is not a meaningful phrase. It's a relative phrase. It assumes that you've got a concentration which is your standard, and then relative to that, something is highly concentrated. There's no indication in this legislation where my baseline is, where the threshold for highly concentrated is. What's the threshold for just concentrated or medium concentrated? We have no idea. It's not clarified. So the idea that we are providing clarification on this difficult issue through this legislation, I don't believe is accurate. Mr. President, I am aware that the Judiciary Committee has spent a lot of time and effort on this and has taken a lot of testimony. They've had experts, they've had chemists, they've had law enforcement, they've heard from a variety of individuals that have expertise and have provided that there are significant challenges. But what they've done each time is come back realizing that there was no easy solution. This legislation we have before us is not the product of the Judiciary Committee. This is an individual bill that was then effectively hijacked with a Standing Committee amendment that goes with some of the previously rejected concepts of total mass basis instead of concentration basis that we know has been flawed. That's really the challenge that we have, is trying to overcome that. We've already had a series of different amendments that have gone on today to change it further. On third reading, in the second body, the idea that this is simple, the idea that this is a successful answer, that this is going to be what will solve the problem, I don't know how we arrive at that point. There is still a lot of confusion. I doubt very seriously anybody in here fully understands what this legislation actually does. And even if we did, there's no scientific rational basis to what it's actually going to provide. It will provide no clarity for the courts because the concentration is not provided, simply the overall mass, and we really don't know what will end up happening. It's not a simple bill. I urge the body to reject it. Let's get back to the drawing board. Let's make it scientifically based, and let's do it right.
Okay.
Education, I'll do it, yeah.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, Mr. President, the only thing I know, if this bill passes out of here, it's probably go to conference, and some of these issues will probably be resolved. But one issue that is resolved by the passage of this bill, that you will have made edibles illegal. And so you have to weigh that against the unintended consequences as to whether or not it's concentration or mass base or whatever benchmark that we have. And so, Mr. President, I think that it's probably time, past time, that we do make edibles illegal. And then we're going to have to sort the wheat from the chaff at some point in time. It's not going to be perfect no matter what we do. But it's probably time to get that done. Thank you.
Okay, we're gonna vote on this because the primary objector to this has already spoken for two times. House Bill 197, having read three separate times, the question is, shall the House bill pass the Senate? Will Chief Kirk please call the roll?
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard? No. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye. Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Plater?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebap?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing. Anselmi Dalton, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 20, aye, 10, no.
House Bill 197, having received an affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 197 passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that we stand in recess until 2 o'clock.
Are there any announcements? Any announcements?
Right.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Conference Committee on Message 452 on Senate File 32 will be meeting at 1 o'clock. Oh, we're late. 1 o'clock over in S-27 to discuss. This one is peace officer recordings. Right after that, another conference committee on message 396 on Senate file, House Bill 231, firearms, possession, antiques, will be meeting in the same room. So we'll try to take care of these two conference committees over in S-27 in the next 45 minutes.
Any other announcements? You've heard the motion. All in favor, signify by Senator Meyer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your conference on House Bill 53 is going to meet in H-38 here, probably in about 10, 15 minutes, as soon as we get a hold of the House folks.
Name the bill.
Senate File 53.
Yeah, Senate File 53.
What's
yep. Veterans hiring preferences, I think, Mr. President.
Any other announcements? Heard the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed? No. The Senate will stand in recess until 2 p.m. That's today. 2 p.m. today.
Yeah.